Good morning from planet Earth in the universe. My name is Dakota, and this is A Place for Humans podcast. Welcome. We don't got nothing to talk about today, but the whole world is, we're all gonna die pretty soon, it seems like. So make something beautiful before you die.
A place for humans.
Does it actually matter if, when you die in life? Like, the fact that we're gonna die kind of means we're already dead anyway, right? Like, whether you die from old age, or whether you die from a saber-toothed tiger, or from Putin. I'm still laughing about Putin's name because it's farts. It means to fart. Putin. Oh, the Kremlin is Putin again. Yeah. Well, anyways, you know, here we are. It's okay. Everything's okay. Because death actually isn't even real. Death isn't even real. Death is actually just an illusion. You know, we have this problem of seeing the world through this binary understanding. You hear hippies talk about it when they say, like, dualism. You live in a dualistic reality. But we really do. And it's an issue. You see it with everything. We compare and are constantly living in this competitive nature. This or that. You're either with me or you're against me. But really, the universe is like a spectrum of possibility, a spectrum of infinite opportunity. And I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, I found myself getting annoyed on Facebook earlier today. I see, like, man, Facebook and Twitter, I really do believe that their algorithms are built to be annoying and to, like, inspire outrage and to inspire conflict. Because every time I spend, you know, any amount of time I spend on Twitter or Facebook, I find myself just getting constantly enchanted by the idiocy that is just plaguing the internet. And what I got annoyed about is stupid, and I realize it's stupid to get annoyed about this, but someone asked me if I was engaging in plant medicine. Ugh. Look, I'm happy for anybody that gets into the shamanic world, that gets into the world of spirituality through reclaiming our intelligence of the fact that nature is intelligent. I think this is beautiful, and I think it's a real revolution to reawaken to the plant queendom and that it's alive, and that nature is alive, and that it's trying to communicate with us through the psychedelic experience. But I just freaking cringe when I hear that word plant medicine. Like, for one, it's such a vague term that it's almost meaningless. Like, what do you mean when you say, do you engage in plant medicine? Do I eat vegetables? And what they were trying to ask me was, do I take mushrooms? Have I taken mushrooms? Is mushrooms even a plant? God, man, I get so upset when I see all these, like, when people speak in this hippie lingo. Oh my God, stop. Like, they're just like they just don't talk to you in a way that's like a normal conversation. Some of the way these hippies speak on, or these spiritual people speak, is just like, Jesus Christ, man, like, is that what spirituality is about? Is just like using flowery language? Fuck. What plant medicines do you take? it like, I feel like using that term is, it not only does it like, remove the historical and cultural and indigenous most of the time, it takes away from the cultural significance of the experience of all these different plants and rituals that they're used in when you just like blanket term it to some hippie plant medicine. It is a medicine. These things are medicines, but, and they are plants, I guess. But like, why speak in such weird little words? Ayahuasca has a beautiful history that needs to be acknowledged when us as foreigners are engaging in the rituals and the traditions in which it comes from. Removing that into our own little hippie love and light language is such like a, it just seems so disrespectful. And it's actually kind of like, not to get all woke, but it's actually kind of, I feel like, another way of sort of capitalize. Like, why do we do this? Why does everybody from the West seems to just view the world as a commodity? How can we take this experience, no matter how sacred it is, package it, and, you know, like, deliver it in the most soulless and profitable way? Like, on Reddit, you always, like, I follow the ayahuasca page on Reddit, and it's just constantly, like, these white guys or women from California that are just like, we are giving ayahuasca. Come to our retreat where we will give you ayahuasca and combo and all these different medicines that could potentially kill you. We did a retreat one time. Trust us. We know what we're doing. And it's just like, the rainforest is being destroyed. So we're instead of like supporting you, we're gonna just take your culture and bring it to California and sell it for $4,000. I'm bitter of the ayahuasca scene and like the whole psychedelic scene now, because it's just been like, it's so sacred and it's so real and beautiful. And it's just like, now it's just another one of those like fads. People have just taken it and they're just running it into the ground, completely demoralizing it and demeaning it. And again, packaging it in the lowest common denominator. Plant medicine. Do you want to come to my plant medicine retreat? I think it's so important, as somebody that was not raised in the communities in which these medicines have been used for a long time, the communities that have allowed us to learn from them, and their well of knowledge has been around for centuries and generations and even thousands of years, you know. We just take it and we just like do what we want with it. And it's like sad. And you see the same thing with Hinduism. Spirituality is just like another, it's just another like click. It's like another ego trip. How spiritual are you? Well, I don't even call it ayahuasca. It's plant medicine. The Shipibos call ayahuasca uni. They also call it ayahuasca, which is a Quechua word. It means the vine of death or the vine of souls. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I turned 30 this year. So this bitterness is just like, it's just been naturally marinating throughout my 20s, you know? So this is just the natural process of my death. This is the natural process of my death. And this is the stage I'm in right now. It's the old man ranting stage about young hippies. But come on, Jesus, man. It's not all love and light. And mushrooms aren't plants. I think the real revolution, obviously, is the inward revolution. But it's very significant to boost these cultures up. And, you know, obviously it's going to come to a point where we, you know, it's the modern world. We have our way of doing things and these people have their way of doing things. And there's going to be a point where it mix, it mixes and it becomes something new. And I think we're kind of in those working out the kinks right now in those stages, and we're just kind of in the annoying stage. One of the things I do like, or that I do understand, is that this secures the cultures by capitalists coming in and exploiting this. It secures the cultures from being destroyed. It secures these traditions, even if it secures it in a way that's like kind of like human zoo like. It secures them, because ayahuasca now, it feels like, it really does feel like a human zoo experience. Like, oh, let's go into the Amazon jungle and hang out with this tribe and experience their weird rituals. But it's a real, and the truth of it is, it's a real spiritual pilgrimage. Like, this is people don't understand it because, you know, we don't have any traditions that inspire or invoke that in our lives. What is spirituality? What is our idea of spirituality here in the USA or in, you know, like Western cultures? What is our idea of spirituality? The conquest of Christianity and colonialism. Like, look out into the world. Do we see the values in which we were raised with? Like, you know, like, don't steal from your neighbor, blah, blah, blah. These very basic things that any civilization would have come to. Do you see this inspiring, like, a beautiful civilization? Look out into the world. Look out into your neighborhoods, into your streets. What do you see? Here in Detroit, I don't see these people. I don't see Christianity inspiring an emerald city that's got flowers blooming and people saying hello. Look all around America. It's not just Detroit where I'm from. Look all around the U.S. But when you go to some of these indigenous communities, and not all of them, but some of these people you meet are actually living a real spiritual experience. They're not seeing the world through the kind of meaningless bullshit that we see it through. And, yeah, you know, whatever. It doesn't even matter, does it? In the end, it doesn't even matter. But yeah, I guess it really doesn't matter. I don't even know what I'm ranting about. It's just like, man, just I guess like just the over wokeness of everything right now is just driving me a little crazy. Like, everything is so PC and so proper. And the irony is that it's not. Like, the irony of like trying to use these words like plant medicine is you're trying to, I can't speak for what people are trying to do, but from my perspective, it seems like, you know, you're trying to, you know, use like a unified term, a term that is inclusive and woke and, I don't know, makes you seem deep or makes you seem like you're in the club. Oh, she knows that she plant medicine, she knows. But in this attempt to appear a certain way, you're actually like doing a disservice to the genuine real community of like where these people come from. And this is what I was kind of saying earlier, is like the pilgrimage is, it's really important. Like, this isn't just an exotic experience to go, and maybe it is, you know, who am I to say? If that's what you want to do, go do that, you know? It is an exotic experience that you can just go do if you want to. But the proper way in which these people would like their traditions to be expressed or understood is that this is a real spiritual journey. And I mean, ayahuasca will show you that, no doubt. DMT will show you that, no doubt. The psilocybin experience done in a ritual setting will show you that, no doubt. These things work. They deliver themselves. But your internal setting really is important as far as what you're going to truly get out of it. It'll probably be a life-changing experience no matter what, but like to just have to loosen the awareness of like the American, you know, just like the consumeristic nature of the American spirit that just wants to like, you know, throw money at something and get a product out of it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just pooting around, you know what I mean? The Kremlin. But here we are, you know, this is, I don't know if there's anything different about this era of life than any other era of life. We've always been probably brainless. I don't know anything. What do I know? I don't know anything. But like, I feel like every era has just been people confidently talking like me. Stop calling it plant medicine. I'm just like yelling at the air. There's probably been always people like me that are confidently think they know something. We all think that. We're all just running around thinking we know something. And it's funny because none of us literally know anything. We're just like in a universe. Here we are on this little planet that somehow over time has bubbled and twisted and twirled and gave birth to everything we see around us. The t-shirt you're wearing, down to the microorganisms living inside your gut, to the bacteria in the melting puddle outside my house. All of this is a mystery that I know nothing about, yet I walk confidently through life like I'm the shit and like I have any clue. And I feel like we all do that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's if we didn't do that, then we would just be freaking out all the time. Like, oh my God, what is happening? We're just on this little spinning dreidel of a plane. You know, it's interesting if you look at the word planet. Planet. I don't know what the etymology of it is or what the root word of planet is, but I bet it's plane, which means something like a reality. I used to play this video game, and they used to have this thing called a moon gate. You would go into the moon gate, and it would transport you to a different realm, a different plane of existence, a different planet. And I think that you can actually look at as the whole universe as being a planet, because Earth itself, although it is seems to be an isolated thing, when you look around us, you know, the whole universe isn't just a giant planet. But try to follow me. I don't know what I'm talking about. We are in a plane of existence. The whole universe is actually a plane of existence existing. I do believe it's probably existing in infinite space. If you think about a holographic universe, think of a holographic universe. Say I have a little hologram in my hand. It boop, pops up. I have infinite space that exists in here. You know, I could get on a treadmill and get on a artificial trail and walk for infinity. This trail can be infinity long within this little cubic meter of artificial reality that I've created. Does that make sense? What am I saying? So the whole universe can be like that. It appears that there's infinity out there, but it's all actually existing within nothing, within just one consciousness. Consciousness isn't, like, it seems like this reality has limitations, or it seems like it has, or maybe that it seems boundless, but in the relative form, it seems like there is limitations in the sense that I can't walk through my wall, or I can't jump off the planet. But it's all connected. Like, the universe doesn't go Earth, space, moon, space, planet, space, comets, whatever. You know, it doesn't go like that. That's our brain using language to categorize reality into a way that is digestible and understandable for us. The reality is the moon is just as much the space around it as it is the Earth. This is like a system. In the same way that you might say my heart and my fingernail are totally different things. How could you ever confuse the two? But in reality, when you stop using the language to separate the two, you say, okay, yeah, actually it is a unified body. Those are one thing. The fingernail and the heart and the kneecaps and the brain and the nose and the sense of sight, all of these things are not actually separate. That is an illusion of my mental categorizations. But actually these things are one. So you can look at the universe as being a plane of existence where our senses, the limitations of our sensorial spectrum, manifest in this plane of existence. Now, maybe when we develop new senses that allow us to tap into information that we don't see, and there is obviously information that we don't see because there are animals that use echolocation, or there are machines that pick up things that we can't see, like X-ray data or infrared, or, you know, things that our body is not equipped to see that does exist. So maybe one day we will evolve into these things and experience a new plane of existence, a new reality. Because what is the foundation of reality? Like, what is it actually? Is it our experience? Is our experience the real one? You know, sharks have the ability to pulsate an energy off their body, and it'll bounce back and let them know that there is something next to them without them actually touching it. They're experiencing a different reality. We don't have that, but that exists. So what is the foundation? Is that the foundation? Is their foundation the foundation? What if there are spirits? What if there are intelligence that exist in a space that isn't limited to the bounds of senses or the body or to something material? Something, maybe they exist on a whole different thing. They see something completely different. Maybe this is what the psychedelic entities are. Maybe they are existing in a five-dimensional world where it's just something completely different. There might be intelligences all around this place. God, if you believe in God. So there are levels to perception, which means there's no truth to reality. And maybe that's what God is, the underlying truth to all the things that are being perceived, the foundation in which all perceptions are popping and going away and coming out of. It's all weird. Find out more by joining my plant medicine retreat. If you would like to join me on a plant medicine retreat, go to dakotawint.com or follow me over on Instagram and Facebook at Dakota Wint. And make sure to click subscribe below. Oh yeah, and subscribe over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And yeah, we can do virtual plant medicine ceremonies. I'm sure I've called it plant medicine too back in the day. But it's just like, man, come on. Do we really have to like hippify everything? Can't we give an ode to the traditions that gave us this knowledge? Call it by its indigenous name. Speak with clarity. Why do so many spiritual people lose the ability to speak directly, bluntly, and clear? It's always some like flowy, bubbly sentence that almost has no meaning but just sounds kind of nice. Like, oh man, don't worry about it. Just good vibes. We're all one. It's all going to be okay. And like, yeah, on the surface, you're like, yeah, you know, that's good. But after like a few minutes, you're like, yeah, but like, fuck, I still have a life to live. This is why the Buddha talked about the middle way. We can't get too far out on the hippie side because it leaves us in a, it, you know, it puts us in a, we spiritually bypass everything, is where we look at the world and all the issues and things that are important on a relative level. You know, some people really are going through things. They really are going through things. And a lot of the time, some of these like YouTubers or spiritual teachers will just say something like, you know, focus on your breath, which is, you know, honestly is enlightening advice, but to the uninitiated is useless. This is why all these YouTube spiritual people are, we're all unqualified to speak of this spiritual knowledge because we don't have the intellectual foundation to properly package and give this to somebody in a way that's useful for their lives. Outside of displaying our own mistakes and being honest, being blunt, speaking clearly. But again, like when we go back to using all this, like, oh, you're one, don't worry about it. You know, all your problems aren't real because you are one with the universe and the universe has no problems. And, you know, this is a thing that can be delivered to someone in a very impactful way. But like, on the same time, like, these generalized statements aren't going to help the people in Russia that currently have no money, or the people in Ukraine that are currently getting bombed, or the poor people that are freezing in Detroit right now, or the people that have no water in Flint, or, you know, these indigenous people in Mexico that have to hide to practice their spirituality because the church tries to destroy their culture. You know, like, these are, on the grand scheme of reality, are useless kind of issues, right? But like, in the relative reality, we are very much separate, and our identities are very much the way that we live through this life. So it's almost a useless statement to try to like transcend everything. Maybe at death, you know, maybe at death, that's a useful practice. But I think there are issues in which living in the separate world, and I know I was arguing about binary competition earlier in the beginning of this podcast, but like, I think there is some usefulness in identity, you know, and you can just know that by your own life. If someone says something that's offensive to you, that's like offensive, you know, because you are you, and it's meaningful to be who you are. And a oneness or hippie flower quote isn't going to necessarily kill your ego. But it sells, you know, it makes money. It makes money, and a lot of people want money. I was talking to a couple of these YouTube friends of mine that like do like the Instagram spirituality and law of attraction courses and stuff like that. And they do like abundance. They do like, you know, give me, I'll make a course on how you can gain abundance. Right? Like, I'll tell you my secret methods of law of attraction and law of attachment and abundance and all that stuff. And God bless him. I don't mean to call anybody out, but he told me he was making over $1 million in selling abundant courses on how to be abundant. And I'm just like, Jesus, man. Isn't spirituality about so much more than what you can get out of the universe? Isn't abundance by recognizing your spiritual nature? Is abundance by like how many shoes you have, or like having a nice house, or like a yacht, or a new Tesla, or whatever it is? Is that the expression of abundance in which is worth exploiting spiritual methods for? Or is abundance love? Is abundance self-awareness? Is abundance realizing that you already have everything you need? You already are abundant naturally by the illumination of your own eyes, by the breath that is existing all around you, the air and foundation that is blowing you through this reality. Each step you take is naturally divine. Can you be happy with that abundance? Or do you need to buy a course? That's the plant medicine crowd, though. But I don't know. You know, I have people can criticize me so much. I'm so easily criticizable that it's almost embarrassing for me to criticize anybody else. But this is my podcast, so. You know, this is my outlet for my inner bullshit. Okay, so let's see. What's new? What's going on in the world? So Russia invaded Ukraine. It's been almost 2 weeks now. They've taken over the largest, nuclear plant in all of Europe. And they were shooting around in there and doing war stuff inside there, and just all kinds of bad business. But it's interesting how Corona just disappears. Not that it's disappeared physically. I know some people are still getting sick and all of that, but socially, You know, it's just, once the media stops talking about it, it's just, no more mask. No more mandates. The media loves something that can steal your attention. That's why they, anything attractive, glitzy, glammy, fearful, and attractive, enchanting, they will run into the absolute depths of hell until the next thing comes up. That's why we had a COVID death watch being played to us for the last 2 years. Today, this many people died in your county. Globally, this many people have died. When these numbers probably aren't even right, you know, I had a friend died in a motorcycle accident, or somebody that, an acquaintance that I know, died in a motorcycle accident, and their family was complaining because it was a COVID death. They put it as a COVID death. And so, you know, it's just, it's very interesting how fear and propaganda and is used against us. Used against us as a way to take away freedoms, which give benefits to politicians that make money through lobbyists or through corporations or through certain things, like these pharmaceutical companies making incredible amounts of money. Corporations that we wouldn't have trusted a few years ago, because, you know, they're the most lobbied and sued corporations on the face of the planet. They have been consistently tarnished by giving people horrible diseases through neglecting their own science and data, like Pfizer, for example. And now we trust them with our lives. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with the vaccine, and I don't necessarily believe that the vaccine is some kind of conspiracy theory to depopulate or harm anybody. But I definitely think the ineffectivity of the vaccine, for example, you know, like Biden saying, if you get the vaccine, you will not get COVID. And then, you know, everyone gets the vaccine and gets COVID. So many people got COVID after the, I mean, it seems like everybody that got the vaccine and the booster got COVID after that. I think this, for example, is intentional because these pharmaceutical companies can then get more grants and more funding to distribute more vaccines. They make more money. And yeah, you know, this is a weird time. And you can't even talk about this stuff publicly without being like considered a bigot or like a QAnon conspiracy theorist. And I get both. I get attacked from both sides. Some people call me like a libtard or a snowflake. And then the other side, I get, people have been calling me alt-right lately, which I find is like, just like a very amazing, beautiful, poetic expression of the sort of social chaos that's being maintained in youth circles of the United States. Kids have absolutely lost the plot. These, like, you know, young adults have absolutely lost the plot. They don't even know left from right anymore. And I feel conservative. Like, Jesus, I'm like a psychedelic Jesus. Well, that's disrespectful to Jesus because I like masturbate and smoke weed, and, you know, Jesus probably didn't do that. But I'm like I'm basically like a psychedelic uncle, a loser uncle, a fucking loser that has nothing going on in life.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Okay. I forgot what I was even talking about.
You? Absolutely.
What were we talking about? Just how pathetic my life is? Yeah. No, but I do feel like, not that I feel conservative. I don't feel like a conservative because, like, you put me in a room with, like, some guy talks like this. All right, listen here, boy. I want you to go grab my revolver. I got the ammunition up in the attic. I want you to go grab that for me because we're going to we're going to the Ukraine, boy. Like, I'm not that kind of conservative, but I'm conservative in the sense of, like, what the hell is going on? Like, there seems to be, like, some social whirlwind that I'm just, like, I missed the memo on. I feel like this, everything is just so extreme. Everything is just so extreme out there, boy. Like, when I feel like, I don't know. I don't even know. I just feel like it's very crazy out there, is what I'm trying to say. But I feel like, you know, adults have probably always felt this way about the younger adults. Because when I was, you know, in my late teenage years and early 20s, I was what the conservatives would call like a whippersnapper or a firecracker. A young stud. Built tough. Ford tough. And, yeah. And now, like, you know, I remember, like, when I was in high school, I would try to organize class walkouts and stuff like that because we were doing, like, operating on dead frogs. So I've had my drama, you know. So it's not that I don't understand the teenage angst and theatrical need to rebel. I understand that, and I'm still in that phase of my life, but it's just, like, just relax a little bit. Relax a little bit. Do we really need to, like, I feel like even the woke crowd is starting to eat each other. Like, whoever's, like, if you're not woke enough, like, it's like it's a ladder. You got to keep climbing the woke ladder. And, yeah, you're just kind of, like, they just kind of step on each other to get to the top of who is the most woke. Like, they're hardly speaking English at this point. I feel like they got so many little terms and new words. And, you know, I remember, because I grew up in Detroit, and we have a very interesting demographic of people here. You have lots of hillbillies and, like, southern type of people, which is ironic because we're very north. You know, you can see Canada across the river. And you have obviously a lot of, you know, Latinos, a lot of black. It's mostly white and black where I live. Growing up, like, some of the older white people here, I remember, like, they would say things like, the colored people back in my day, and I would always be so uncomfortable, like, oh, you can't shut the fuck up. You can't say colored people. That's so racist. That's such a racist to call. We're all people. We're all people, you know? You don't need to make a little category for, you know, black people, call them coloreds or whatever. It seems so offensive. And it seems to revolve around this quality of whiteness, like, oh, those people are that type. And, but I guess it's not offensive because literally everyone today is now switched from colored person to person of color, or like black person of color, or, I feel like there's so many different types of little terms now to, which ironically, like I understand that. Actually, I don't really understand it. Like, why do we need these terms to describe people? Why can't we just consider people people? Why do we need to, like, categorize everything into a pool of data? And I know I was just, like, ranting on about how important identity and culture can be, but I feel like that doesn't remove any of that by just being respectful and not, like, making up some term which excludes. I feel like white people are almost a minority. I mean, especially in, like, the Americas. I mean, I've been all around from South America to North America, and it's only really small parts of the U.S. and Canada that are filled with white people. Everywhere else is black and indigenous, or, you know, an array of types of people. And yet we revolve all of our sort of terms and all of this based, or it orbits the idea of whiteness. You know what I mean? It just seems like we're in such a strange place socially. Where does this all end? I don't really know. And, like, I, you know, who am I to talk, you know? can't remember what I was talking about. I've been having that problem lately where I just like will forget what I'm saying in the middle of the conversation, and that's because I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth in the next second when I do these podcasts. It's literally just like I just wind myself up and I just kind of stare around my room and just let my mouth say what it wants, and I don't even actually know what I'm talking about. And then I have like a flash of realization, and it like is a dead end to wherever I was just at in my like vocabulary vomit trance. So yeah, let's see. I fly to New Delhi in 3 weeks. I'll be in India for a month. I go to Turkey with your mate Tom. And then in October, I have some retreats in Mexico. Unfortunately, they're not plant medicine retreats, but they are very, very fun adventures around the jungle of the Mayan jungle in Chiapas. It's 7 days. If you would like to join, there's like 5 spots for the second week open, which is 20 to 26, and it's also the Dia de los Muertos leading up towards the end of October, so it's a very interesting time to be in Mexico. Like, if you've ever seen the movie Coco, it's like that. Maybe not quite like Coco, but that's what Coco is based off of. And it's very beautiful. It's a very beautiful time to go to Mexico, and I would love to show you around. And I think Tom might be at those as well. 10 to 16, 20 to 16. And it seems like 6 days, but that's not. That's just your brain. Because I was saying it was 10 to 17 because it seems like 7 days, but it's actually 10 to 6 is 7 days. Anyways, nothing makes sense anymore when 10 to 6 is 7 days, and, you know, plant medicine is a mushroom, and you know, when spirituality is actually not that spiritual. When, you know, you can just be whoever you want in these days. Pretty soon we're going to have virtual avatars, and we'll be like, I'll be able to look like Shiva or Muhammad. Ooh, that's offensive. You know, in Turkey, they say they have in a museum, they say they have one of the prophet's beard hairs. The prophet Muhammad, they have his beard hair. And the staff of Moses. So, amen, brother. That's beautiful, you know? And I got to see that the beard hair of the prophet. So I'm blessed in life. And yeah, anyway, it's just been a weird morning for me today, and I felt like I needed to rant a little bit before I, you know, have my pre-midlife crisis publicly on YouTube. This is just the foresight of what's to come. And anyways, I hope you guys end the podcast such a dramatic way. I'm feeling dramatic today. But anyways, yeah, I'm going to get off here and just stare at my wall, I guess, and smoke a little bit of weed and, you know, just be. So, my name is Dakota. I appreciate if you got this far. And, make sure to click subscribe here on YouTube, or head over to Apple, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. I've got some cool podcasts out there. Duncan Trussell, Alex Gray, Tommy Chong, Trevor Hall. We got some really cool podcasts. We've had some great guests. So please continue to support the podcast. Please continue to support the podcast because it means the world to me. And yeah, hey, keep on being alive. Call plant medicine whatever you want to call it. Don't listen to me. I love you. Stay happy. Keep on oming. Keep on oming in the free world, baby. Om.